At this time, let us all pray. Kind and righteous Father, we're thankful for this opportunity you've given us this evening to share your message of truth through your Son, Jesus Christ, to a lost and dying world. We are thankful for our speaker of the hour this evening, Brother Richard Stevens. We pray, Lord, that in his preparation for this evening, that he has studied those things that are necessary to communicate to non-believers what they must do to be saved. We also pray, Lord, that something be shared this evening that may also prick the heart of the errant brother or sister in Christ who may have strayed and is lost. We pray, Lord, that his message this evening also reach them so that they can return home before you send your Son back to claim those who are faithful. We're thankful for the Church of Christ, the blood-bought institution that your Son purchased with his own blood. We're thankful for the Highland Heights congregation and their efforts in sponsoring this nationwide gospel meeting effort. We pray, Lord, that the things we do in our conducting of this particular gospel meeting and in the services this evening are pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. We ask this prayer in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
We're very thankful tonight to have everybody and all, and we're very thankful for my co-host, Brother Anthony Flunder, and also my assistant minister, for we have worked together in unity to put this call on. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You are a very honored and distinguished guest of the audience. We put this call on with you in mind. We want you to know that we love your soul. We love our soul. And we believe that the Bible has the final authority and absolute authority to what one must do in order to be saved. We thank you so very much for joining us tonight. If you're on the call, we ask you to please take your Bible and also make sure that you take notes of the things that will be said tonight by our speaker in the person of Brother Richard W. Stevens III. He preaches for the Berkeley Heights Church of Christ there in Dallas, Texas. He's been married to Angela, and they have six kids. Brother Stevens has been preaching for 20 years. He got a lot of articles, great man of God, and a great congregation. Now, I know tonight he will bring us the important information we asked him to produce for us tonight, and that is he'll be speaking from the subject tonight, the truth about whose name will be in the book of life. You know what? I want my name in that book. Brother Stephen, will you tell us the truth about whose name will be in the book of life? Brother Stephen.
All right, my brother. Hello, good folk. Hey, I appreciate you, Brother Tommy, Brother Flounder, you brothers for having me on, and the other brothers also in our lessons. I want to thank everyone for listening in. And that is a very good question. Whose names are written in the book of life? Let me tell you why we all want to make sure. We need to inquire in the Bible and try to find out what does it take to have our names in the book of life, or if our names are in the book of life. But let me tell you why you want to know. Because judgment day is coming. You know, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, it said, because he has appointed a day when he would judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom we hath ordained, giving full assurance unto all men that he had raised him from the dead. And that is Jesus. Everyone must appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Romans 14, verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. If you look over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, make that John chapter 5. John chapter 5. You know I meant John. John chapter 5. In verse 22, when Jesus said, the Father judges no man, but he committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, I want you to look at verse 28 and 29. When Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation or condemnation. And the latter, that's why you want your name in the book of life. If you look over in Revelation chapter 20, the very last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, and look at the judgment scene. Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse number 11, where the Bible says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was no place found for them. and also the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, or death and Hades, gave up the dead which were in them. And they would judge every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that's why you want your name in the book of life. If you notice in verse 14, there's a second death. And there's a first death. The first death is a physical death. Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. That's a physical death. But over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says the wage of sin is death. That's a spiritual death. Because if you never committed a sin, you know you would still have to physically die. Because all men have to do that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2, there's a time to be born and a time to die. So back over in Revelation chapter 20, and verse 14, that's a spiritual death. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The same thing in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, at the end of that verse, that the lake that burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And the second death, or place in hell, is reserved for those who, in Revelation 20, verse 15, whose names are not in the Lamb's book of life. That's why it is imperative, it's an absolute must that we have our names in the book of life. Okay, so if we're taking points, that's my first point. That's why you need your name written in the book of life. We all do. Now, let me tell you whose names, now the ones who are in the book, the ones whose names are in the book of life, it is their reservation for heaven. So when you get your name in the book of life, well, then you have reserved you a spot in heaven. Uh-huh. And if you haven't made reservations by getting in the book, you won't be getting into heaven. Hello. Now, when I was newly married, me and my wife and I, before we had all of our kids, our children, before we had all of them, we went out to restaurants all the time. We went to different restaurants, and we would eat, and we would enjoy one another's company. And one night, we went to one restaurant, and we were stopped at the door. They wouldn't let us in. And the guy said, he told me, he said, you have to have made reservations. And he pointed to the book. Well, I knew that I had made reservations, but I looked inside and I saw toward the back that there were some empty tables. There were empty tables and empty chairs. So I told the guy, I said, there's a lot of chairs in the back. Can we just sit in the back? And he told me, no, he denied me. He said, no, I'm sorry, but all those seats are reserved. And so I offered the guy a few dollars. You know, I tried to buy my way in. And he told me, I'm sorry, sir, you can't get in. You have to have made reservations, which I did not make. And so in hindsight later, I thought if I had $1,000, he may have let me in. He may have let me in. And if not $1,000, what if I was super rich and I said, well, hey, here's $20,000. Well, maybe he would have let me in for $20,000. Or maybe not $20,000, what about $500,000? See, the point is, if I had enough money, I bet I could have bought my way into that restaurant, even though I didn't have reservations. But that won't work when it comes to heaven. If you don't make reservations, if your name is not in the book, you won't be able to get into heaven. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, he said, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul? If you own the whole world and you didn't make reservations, you're not in the Lamb's book of life, and you want to get into heaven, you could not bargain with God with the whole world to get into heaven because the whole world belongs to God. Uh-huh. The Bible says in Psalm 50, God said in Psalm 50, verse and number 10, that every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon a thousand hills. He said in verse 12, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. The whole world belongs to me. So if you haven't made reservations by getting into the book of life, Well, guess what? There is no amount of money, no amount of assets or possessions. There is no type of bargaining whatsoever that will allow you to get into heaven. The only way is by making reservations and getting into the book of life. So, because of my third point. The third point is, but then when must one make reservations for heaven? By getting into the book. Well, you do it in this life. Hello. Uh-huh. If you wait till after you die, it is too late. It's like going to a restaurant. You do not make reservations after you get there. See, that's what the guy told me. He said, too late. He told me I would have had to make reservations before. When I got to the restaurant, it was too late to get in. Uh-huh. You have to make reservations beforehand. Uh-huh. Now, who are they that have made reservations in this life by getting into the book so that one day they can get in heaven? Who are they? Well, let me show you who they are. Look with me over in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And Luke chapter 10 and verse number 1, where Jesus had appointed 70 other disciples. These were followers of Jesus Christ. And he sent them out to go preach. And, you know, he'd also had empowered them with miraculous gifts that they were able to heal and to cast out demons. And in verse 17, the Bible says the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, devils is the word for demons because there's only one devil, Revelation 12 and verse 9. But the demons are subject to us to thy name. So in verse 20, the Lord, he responded, he said, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Who are these? These are followers, disciples, who follow the example and teachings of Jesus. Now, even over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, at the end of that verse, you can see even more clearly when Paul said to my fellow laborers whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who are they? Those were Christians. You know Paul was working with Christians when he was on the earth. And look with me in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 23. But the Bible says, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, those are in the church that in the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. I know folks wonder what church is that, because everywhere you look, there's a church. It's like old McDonald's farm. Here a church, there a church, everywhere a church, church. But it has to be one church, because Jesus only built one church. One church by which all mankind can be saved. Just like in the Old Testament, there was one ark. Only one ark for salvation. There's one church for salvation. And not because I say so, but because the Bible teaches that. If you notice in verse number 28, that the Hebrew writer, he's talking about the church of the firstborn, talking about the church, and he calls it the kingdom in verse 28. Over in Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus had said at that time that there were some of that generation, some at that time who would not die, not taste death, until they see the kingdom coming with power. And what came in our lifetime was the church. Over in Matthew, look at Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, after the great confession was made about Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, in verse 16. And Jesus said in verse 18, he said, that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, singular tense, one church. And the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it, one church. And he said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. He used the church and the kingdom, one and the same. The church of the Lord and the kingdom of the Lord are the same. Like in Mark chapter 1, the kingdom is not coming. The kingdom came in that generation, in the first century. The kingdom came when the church came. Look with me over in Acts chapter 8, in verse 5, you see, Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. But in verse 12, the Bible says, and when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. See, when he was preaching Christ, preaching Jesus, he's also preaching the church. Hello. Uh-huh. Because the kingdom and the church is one and the same. Uh-huh. That's right. The church of the Lord. Let me show you this. Look over in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. See, Jesus and the kingdom and the church, because it's Jesus' church, it's Jesus' kingdom and the church are one and the same. Look with me over in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, the Bible says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Notice he said he had, H-A-T-H, already translated them into the kingdom of their son. They were already in the kingdom. But what were Paul and them in? They were in the church. And it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image? The who is the subject, the who is his dear son, Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, because Jesus also was God, Matthew 1:23, Emmanuel being interpreted as God with us. And notice what it says, the firstborn of every creature. He wasn't the first created, but he's the one who has the preeminence. Yes. Look with me over in Psalm 89, the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 89 and verse number 27. For the Bible says, also I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Who is he? That's Jesus. Notice in verse 29. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. It's talking about Jesus, who has an everlasting kingdom. And notice that he is the firstborn who is higher than the kings of the earth. Revelation 19 and verse 16, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hello, somebody. So back over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, because when we looked at, we saw that those who are written in heaven, these are the followers, the disciples of the Lord. They're also the fellow laborers with Paul who were Christians. And also, this is the church of the firstborn, or the church of Jesus Christ. The church and kingdom of Jesus Christ. And what the Bible says in Romans 16 and verse 16, to salute one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. Those are the ones who have made reservations for heaven by having their names in the book of life. So the next question comes. The next question is, how do we make reservations? You want to get in the book of life? Everyone should. If you want to get in the book of life, how do you do it? Well, you book reservations. Am I right about it? Yeah, I want to get into that restaurant. So you can't get in. You must have made reservations. How do I make reservations? Well, sir, you need to go book some reservations. And then that will have you in the book at the door and let you in. Well, if you want to go to heaven, you have to book reservations and get yourself in the book of life. But see, the issue is you don't do it the same way as a restaurant. You cannot get on the phone and call heaven and say, I want to make reservations, put me in the book of life. See, it doesn't work that way. You book reservations for heaven by getting in the last book of life through the book, the word of God, the Bible. Back over in Revelation, remember, in chapter 20, there were books, plural. God has more than one book. He has a book of life. He also has a book of a remembrance, Malachi. Chapter 3, verse 16. He has a book of compassion, Psalm 56 and verse 8. He also has another book. He has a book of his word, the Bible, and we're going to be judged by it. John 12 and verse 48. Jesus said, he that rejected me, receiving not my word, has one to judge in him. The words I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. And it's going to be because we've been given what? The gospel. You know, Jesus gave the Great Commission in Mark 16 and verse 15 and 16. So the disciples say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. The one who won't believe, who won't obey, he will not be able to get into heaven. No, he will have part of that second death. You know, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, we are called by the gospel. And then over in Romans chapter 10. Turn to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 16, where the Bible says, Paul said, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, a New Testament rendering of Elijah, said for Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? Because had they believed, they would have obeyed. If you believe this gospel, you should have obeyed it. See verse 17, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That God said it, and I believe it, and I obey it. And guess what? And that will save you and put your name in the book of life. Over in 1, back in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for if the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, it's the dunamis, the dynamite of God unto salvation. Over in 2 Timothy, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. But Paul said, how talking about God who had saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But has now been made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Jesus didn't abolish physical death, but he abolished his physical death. And has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel, it abolishes that, abolishes or takes away that second death and gives you life, puts you in the Lamb's book of life, and so that your name is reserved and you can get into heaven one day. Notice it's all through, if you notice, it's all through God's grace. Like in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. The grace of God that bringeth salvation and appeareth to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. But the grace of God, how has it appeared to everyone? How does it teach us to do God's will? It's all through the gospel. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul called the gospel of God's grace. And when you obey the gospel, God forgives you of your sin. He adds you to his church, adds your name to the book of life. You are reserved there. And so when you die one day, that your name will be, that you will be able to get into heaven. Hello, somebody. Now, after you obey the gospel and that your name is reserved, you have to maintain or keep your reservation. See, Revelation 2:10, you got to stay faithful unto death. Because reservations can be canceled. I know a lot of folk believe in once saved, always saved, but the Bible doesn't teach that. No. No, you need to, you can walk away from salvation. You need to remain faithful, because you don't want your reservation canceled. I remember one time that I was in Chicago, and I had a reservation for return flight. And I got a text message, and the text message said that my flight was canceled. And I was like, what? How was my flight canceled? And I had to make new reservations to get home. Well, guess what? Spiritually, that can happen too. It happens that you can have spiritual cancellation through unfaithfulness. If you walk away from Christ, guess what? God will remove your reservation, cancel your reservation, and then once you're in, you have reservations, then you lose your reservation, and guess what? You can't get into heaven. Look, when we're over in Exodus. Look at Exodus. We'll be in Exodus. Exodus chapter 32, the second book of the Bible. In Exodus chapter 32, and this is after Moses went up to Mount Sinai and the people began to sin while he was up there. Well, in verse 31, Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people has sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray, out of thy book which thou hast written. Moses said, if you won't forgive them, just take me out of your book. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. See, God has some white out. He has an eraser. He can erase your name, blot your name. Once the name that's in his book, take it out. Oh, it's in the New Testament, too. Look with me over in Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, and here is the Lord speaking. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. He's speaking to the church of Sardis, saying, you know, the churches are not different churches with different doctrine. They were congregations of the one church that had the same teaching. The same doctrines, only one doctrine from God, and the doctrine of Christ, and the doctrine of Jesus, and the doctrine of the apostles are all the same doctrine, the same teaching given from heaven. Well, notice what he says in verse 5. He said, he that overcometh, speaking to Christians, He that overcometh means to endure to the end. The same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The one who endureth for the end to the end will say he's faithful. Look back in chapter 2. In chapter 2, speaking to the church at Smyrna, at the end of Revelation 2, verse 10, it said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, verse 11, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh or endureth to the end shall not be hurt of the second death. But the implication is that if you don't remain faithful, you will be hurt or will take part in that second death. Yes, you will be blotted out. See, that's how you will get, you know, you will face that second death, because you are in the book of life, but you are taken out, blotted out. You can lose your salvation. That's sad, isn't it? So you got to stay faithful unto death. Hebrews 10, verse 26, if we sin willfully, there remain no more sacrifice for sin. Hello. Uh-huh. Now, I've said all we said about how that you, whose names are they who are in the book of life? And I've already said how it's important that your name is in there, because you want to go to heaven, and God wants you to go to heaven, but you must book reservations. You must do it through the gospel that your name is in the book of life, and you must maintain a faithful life to Christ, a faithful committed life to Christ, to keep your name there. Uh-huh. But you know, it's all predicated upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Hello, here's the gospel. So the gospel is twofold. It's what God has done. And what God has done is about that old story about how a Savior came from glory. And he came and he suffered on the way to the cross. And he died upon the cruel cross. And he died for you and for me, because he died for your sins and for my sins. Hebrews 2 and verse 9, he tasted death for every man and everyone. Hello, he made a way for us all to go to heaven. Hello, if you want to go and I want to go, but we must respond to do our part of the gospel. So the gospel, it does not save but only through God's part, but it saves when after we've done our part. And see, and Jesus taught it and the apostles taught it. Jesus taught that we must believe. In John 8 and verse 24, he said, except you believe that I'm he, you will die in your sins. Jesus said you must repent. In Luke 13, 3, also verse number 5, he said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said we must confess, acknowledge what the Bible says about him in Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. That whosoever will confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever will deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, he told we must be baptized in John 3, 5, except the man be born again of the water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter to the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God. And in that text of verse 22 and 23, Jesus and his disciples of Jesus were baptizing in water, because there was much water there. Uh-huh. Even Jesus, who had no sin, was baptized himself in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And folks said, I want to be baptized, but Jesus baptized and told John the Baptist in Matthew 3 that we may fulfill all righteousness, because that was heaven's mandate, heaven's command. In Psalm 119 and verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. And because God commanded it, Jesus yielded to it. Uh-huh, that's the example. Well, now the baptism is because, yes, we're baptized because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what they taught in Acts chapter 2, but you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins through your faith in Christ Jesus. Acts 2 and verse 38. You know, when they said in verse 37, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, no one's excluded, in the name of the authority of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus had died. He rose from the dead. Here is the first gospel message. It said that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And for the forgiveness of sins, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized. They understood that. And there were added unto them 3,000 souls. And they continued, verse 42, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and teaching, and in fellowship, breaking the bread, and in prayers. And the very last verse in Acts 2:47 said, "And praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such to be saved, no one joined anything. The Lord added those who obeyed." In 10 verses earlier, in verse 37, it said, "What shall we do?" Well, they were told through inspiration what to do. And those that did that were the ones who were believed and were baptized and were added to the church. Look over in Acts chapter 8, you know, because we said you have to believe, you must repent, you have to be baptized. And some said, where's confession at? Over in Acts chapter 8, here's an example. In Acts chapter 8, Philip, in verse 35, Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, that he preached unto the eunuch Jesus. In verse 36, it says, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What did he hinder me from being baptized? He knew through the preaching of Jesus, through the gospel of Jesus, he needed to be baptized. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made a great confession. But if you notice, there was no rejoicing right here. It wasn't until after he was baptized in verse 38. They went down into the water, and he baptized him. See, he was immersed. And when he came out of the water, verse number 39 is when he was rejoicing. And I want to point you to one more scripture over in Romans, the next book over, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. See, through our belief, repentance, confession, and water baptism, our sins are forgiven. We added to the church, and we live faithfully. Now, notice in Romans chapter 6. Notice what it says in verse 3 through 5. It said, well, know you not that many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we also should walk in the newness of life. Notice that the new life comes after baptism. He said, for if we have been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. My friends, you cannot imitate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ through prayer, which you can't find in the Bible anywhere. No one ever prayed to God for pardon to become his child, and no one was ever told to do that. And you cannot imitate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that way. Or even through just because you believe or because yourself you repent. It's only through water baptism. That's the only way that you imitate everyone who's going to have their name in the book of life and go to heaven must have in this life imitated the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ through the belief, repentance, confession, and water baptism, and the Lord adds them to the church. Hello. I know you want to go to heaven. Okay. Well, now's the time. Now is the time to make reservations, to get your name in the book of life by obeying the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is a day of salvation, right now. And, you know, I want to just tell you this, that I want to tell you that, you know, Tommy said too, Tommy Brooks said, and Anthony Flounder and other guys who preach, and maybe some Christian folk, you know, that if you have not obeyed the gospel, you need to understand we were all where you were, where you are now. And someone showed us what God said. I'm so thankful that God tells us in his word what we need to do. And when we do that, when we do what God said, he gives us salvation. I want to thank you for listening. And I want to tell you, God bless you. And even those in the church, if you're not faithful, rededicate your life. Get back in a right relationship with the Lord. He promises to forgive us, and many times we'll repent. Turn yourself back to the Lord. Where else can you go for salvation? And I pray that we all stay faithful to the Lord, calls us home until he returns. God bless you for listening.
Thank you, Brother Stephen. And I'm very excited to have everybody on the call tonight, especially those who are members of the Church of Christ and those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are VIP. You know, we've had a great group of speakers on tonight, and we closed the Friday night with a special emphasis, with a topic that will put emphasis on going to heaven. You know, friends, if you're on the call tonight and you know that COVID-19 is taking people out every day, it's appointed unto man once to die, my friends. There will be a judgment. Why are we doing this call at this time, and why is God allowing us to reach and come into the homes of many people throughout this nation for 30 minutes with sound preachers who believe that the Bible has the final answer. Brother Stephen has told us tonight about who will go to heaven. In other words, whose name is in the book of life. Those are the people who are going to go to heaven. And we want you to know, we pray that you are seeking the truth. For John 4:23, Jesus said, the hour come and now is, notice this now, watch it, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, higher in spirit and in truth. Watch this. For the Father seeketh such. If you're on the call tonight, you've been seeking truth. I want you to know, the Father who sent his only Son seeks those who are seeking to be true worshipers. It's one thing when you're seeking God, it's a whole different day when you're seeking, when God is seeking you. If you're on the call tonight, you say, well, Brother Brooks, maybe you're in the study. I've got a text tonight from a friend of mine, Brother Brashear. He's studying with Rob and Sharon and Sarah Jones, and they're in a study listening to this lesson tonight. I want to say to them, think about this. God is providing the truth to you tonight. And I know there are other groups, many of groups, Brother Samuel, many are listening that are not members of the Church of Christ. Think about this. Is it possible that God is seeking you now? Because you're in a point in your life where you need to obey the truth. That's a special day. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we pray you've heard this message from Brother Stephen. I want my name in that book of life, and I know you do too. What does that mean at the end of the day? You know, we have preachers like Brother Colley and a lot of men who come on this week to teach us this simple truth. And what I believe is that what we're doing with this gospel meeting is God, because of COVID-19, is placing death in the face of the world. And there are people who are honest, sincere, but they are lost. My friend, don't be lost. Just obey the simple truth. And make sure your name is in that book. That's all going to matter on the day of judgment. If you want more information tonight, if you want to hear the recorded messages, Brother Stephen's message recorded, all of our speakers this week, all of the speakers we've had on since May, you can go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. Just click on Nationwide Gospel Call, Gospel Meeting Call, and all the sermons will come up by the flyer, by the name of the speaker, by the subjects you want to hear more about. And click on that. You can download it, share it with your friends, listen to it again. But let me encourage you, don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. For tomorrow is not promised. My friend, Brother Tommy Brooks, love you all. I don't think what we're doing is accidental. It's providential. And there are people like us in the churches of Christ who believe the Bible is right. Obey before it's too late. Don't wait. Go get baptized tonight. You get back with the person who put you in a call. Tell them you want to obey the gospel. You want your name in that book. And they'll take you to the Church of Christ close to you. And you get baptized tonight. And then you invite your friends and family on to hear the rest of the messages as well. Or you can contact me. You can call me directly at 281-750-2702. Or you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. You say, Brother Brooks, there's so many people in the world. But yeah, that's true. What we're looking for are the few. But it was Jesus who said, many will go the broad way. Matthew 7:13-14. But notice this. He said, few will find the straight and narrow way. Until you're looking for the simple, straight and narrow way, you will never find it. We love you all. We thank you for visiting with us. We thank you for listening. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Father, it is my prayer that you would touch our visitors' hearts and they will receive this message tonight and not put off obeying the gospel. Being baptized for the remission of their sins. Being added to the one true church, which is the church of Christ. And all that can happen only if they believe that your word from the Bible is the absolute truth. We pray for them. We reach out tonight, Father, with meekness and fear. We know that through your word you've taught us that the conclusion of the whole matter at the end of our life will be, as Ecclesiastes Solomon said, we are to hear the conclusion of the whole matter, and that is to fear God and keep his commandments. For that is not a partial duty, but the whole duty of man. Father, I thank you for our speakers. We thank you for our listeners. And we thank you for those of our brothers and sisters who are reaching their friends and family through this nationwide gospel meeting call, to my knowledge, the first ever to be hosted via conference call. Thank you for allowing us to go into the homes of seekers and give them the 30 minutes of truth. That's enough that they may be saved. We love you and thank you, Father. Bless our ministry. Bless our efforts. And bless our visitors tonight to receive with meekness your engrafted word. For you have told us that it's able to save our souls. And we want to see your face one day and hear you say, well done, that good and faithful servant. That's what we want for our visitors. That's what we want for our members, our brothers and sisters who need to come home. We pray that they'll come home, repenting, confessing, asking you to forgive them and be restored to New Testament pattern of worship and the truth according to the scripture. Bless Brother Stevens, his elders and other ministers and those of his congregation. And Lord, bless us at Highland Heights as we put on this nationwide outreach to save souls. We pray this prayer in the precious name of Jesus, your Son, who suffered on the cross and shed his blood for us. And for that reason, we believe greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. I'm so thankful to be his friend. And I too want my name in the book of life. I want my friends and family, Father. So bless them tonight to receive it. It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Next week, Brother Bashir Bistro from Tucson, Arizona, the truth about what's in the name. Tuesday night, Brother Matthew Pugh, Syracuse, New York, the truth about the church, any church will do. Wednesday night, the truth about the mechanical instruments and music, by Brother Tim Hayes from Pell City, Alabama. Thursday night, the truth about why I should be a Christian, Brother Robert Jeffries from South Haven, Mississippi. And closing us next week will be the truth about the second death, Brother Kenneth Jackson from Little Rock, Arkansas. Please tune in. May God bless you. Pray for us. Stay tuned. We pray you have a good night's rest.